Today on Real Life Radio.
God, we want to see your will done through us. Lord, if you're going to use anybody, don't you think this? Don't you pray this? God, if you're going to do anything, will you use us? And as soon as we pray that prayer, there's an overwhelming sense of our inadequacy. That's a good thing, because it can only be done by God's inspiration.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, have you ever thought about what's after life? Do you know that the Bible teaches life is after life? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my good friend Philip DeCourcy has written a great book, and that's the title, Life After Life, Exploring the Bible's Wonderful Promises About Heaven and Eternity, published by Harvest House Publishers. Get a copy for yourself.
Life After Life by Philip DeCourcy, Exploring the Bible's Promises About Heaven and Eternity. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2. You know, Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Throughout his ministry, Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to everyone around him. Peter really understood the power of God's love, and he set an example for all true believers to live by. So now as we continue in chapter 5, we'll see how Peter turns his focus on the leadership of the church. Peter, knowing the glorious reward that awaits his people, urges us to serve willingly those whom God has entrusted to our care. Not because we have to, but because we want to serve others without any ulterior motives or any thought of self-preservation. So today Pastor Jack tells us, we as believers should not be spectators only, but doers of God's word, to encourage one another, serving among the people and pointing our fellow Christians in the right direction. Now with his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 5, in an amazing, awesome shift in the Apostle Peter's topic. In fact, this chapter is divided up into two segments, and up front is his focus on those who minister to the very bulk and content of who Peter's writing to, that it's the ministry of the Christian worker that is to instruct and to exhort and to assist and to mature the greater body of Christ. And so he turns and speaks to us, and I do mean to us. Granted, this is one of those chapters that's often taught on in a pastor's conference or ministry conference. But remember this, when Peter gave it, it was written to all in a local church, all across the Eastern Roman Empire. And if you would forgive me in advance as I fast quickly repeat part one of our study last time together in the opening throes of this chapter, we're looking at that message entitled Ministers Each and Every One. And if I had to add a word, it would be each and every one of us as believers. As I've said often, that Christianity is a non-spectator faith. It is impossible to be a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to not get involved. God will see to it that you get involved in some way, shape, or form as a believer. God will see to it that you are involved, no matter how seemingly small that might be. I just love that, though. It's impossible for the believer to be involved in anything that is small. If you as a believer share ministry life with one other person, that is a big deal. Don't get bogged down or caught up in the numbers of people. You think of Hudson Taylor, who went to China, the great missionary, and preached for I forget how many decades. He preached and to no avail. Seemingly, nobody got saved. One man got saved from what we read about. And when Hudson Taylor died, the mantle fell upon that man's life, and that man that carried on the word carried it to tens of thousands of Chinese. God's word never returns void. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God will send out his word, that is the Bible, supernaturally energized. It is the word of God. And when it goes out, it absolutely has great effect. And it's a spiritual thing. Yet its effect is manifested in the physical realm. And so we saw this, number one, and that, in fact, that's where we're plowing our field today in, is the fact that we need encouragement as believers if we're going to be encouraging other people. And we began looking at what ministers need. And we saw this in verse one, that we're encouraged by God's calling upon your life. And I told you up front, I'm going to refuse to allow this portion of this chapter to be focused on myself or the pastoral or ministry staff of this church, because I don't view it that way. Yes, I understand my calling. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that God has called me to be a pastor teacher. I get that. But listen, you cannot have a functioning church unless the pastor teacher has someone to pastor and teach to. And what's the effect? That pastoring to someone is to love them, nurture them, to point them in the right direction, to make sure that they are spiritually well taken care of. For what effect? That they might live dynamic, healthy, effective Christian lives. That's where the teaching of God's word comes in. Every shepherd is to teach or feed God's people with the word. But once that has taken place, church, you guys are the ones that shake the earth. You're the ones that make a difference. You reach people that I could never reach. And God equips us through his word. And so we saw in verse 1, it says they're elders. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, said the apostle. Tremendous statement. And we looked at the fact that the elders, and we'll talk a little bit more as we go on through this study, but we're talking about elders, the one not necessarily of age, but one that is of experience, that these are those who have been called into the ministry and they have experience, that they've got the battle scars to prove the fact. We stress the point that they are among the people, that true biblical ministry is that is being done with God's servants among the people. Among the people. That we're not to be ministers and pastors that are removed from people. That's impossible. That is absolutely an offense. I believe it's an offense to God if pastors and Christian workers are not in association with the flock. How can that possibly take place according to the will of God if we are somehow removed? And how does that happen? I told you guys before to prepare yourself, because I'm going to mention some names that show the exact opposite. So I just want to warn you up front. If me mentioning some names of what it is to not be a shepherd, to not be a pastor offends you, I just want you to know you have a few moments to run out of the building before you hear this. The awesome thing about Peter is that he's not promoting himself in his apostolic authority. He says, I am a fellow elder. Look at this. We see the encouragement of God's inspiration. We saw God's calling, verse 1, upon your life as a believer, because God has called you to Christian service. And secondly, we saw last time together that we're to be encouraged by the inspiration of God that is upon your life. And I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. Every one of us as believers have been given a ministry opportunity that God seeks to inspire you to do. Did you hear that? Every single one of us who named the name of Jesus, God has given you a task, now that you're his child, to join in the work to either bring others to the knowledge of Jesus and or to minister to the body of Christ at large. And in doing that, true Christian growth takes place in your life, because we cannot be spectators to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. To be a spectator is to watch it happen in front of us. It is my prayer for this church. Dear God in heaven, don't let this church be a church that just watches your will go by. God, we want to see your will done through us. Lord, if you're going to use anybody, don't you think this? Don't you pray this? God, if you're going to do anything, will you use us? And as soon as we pray that prayer, there's an overwhelming sense of our inadequacy. That's a good thing, because it can only be done by God's inspiration. Lord, I'm willing. Can you imagine? God must look at us. I'm joking right now, kind of. God must look at our willing hearts and say, wow, they're willing. They sure are willing. If I don't inspire them with my Holy Spirit and His work, they're going to flop. That is a good thing. That's a good thing. God wants to inspire. He says regarding himself, Peter, I'm a fellow elder. And he says, I'm the witness of the sufferings of Christ. You remember we ended our study last week with the fact that Peter watched the sufferings of Christ? He saw all the wounds. He saw the beatings. He saw the rejection. He saw the arrest. He heard the ridicule, the mock. He heard all of that. When he says, I'm a witness to the sufferings of Christ. You remember last week I dialed down on the fact that I personally believe that's not what Peter is totally referring to. I believe that he's referring to the ultimate, and that was that on that night when Jesus was being betrayed and beaten, do you remember what Jesus had warned Peter about? You're going to deny me three times, Peter? And Peter was in the courtyard and he experienced and watched firsthand those rejections coming out of his mouth. And then the Bible tells us that in that third rejection, he looked at Jesus and Jesus was looking at him. And the Bible tells us that Peter ran out and wept bitterly. Remember that? He was overcome with grief having rejected Jesus and denying Jesus. He was absolutely consumed with the fact, and I believe this is biblical, that the physical sufferings of Christ to be honored and to be appreciated, obviously. But I believe if you and I are going to be fellow co-workers in the family of God, you and I have got to see the fact that our lives, not only before we came to Christ, but even at times after coming to Christ, we have denied Him. We have denied Him because maybe we backed away from the moment when the Holy Spirit said to us, tell that person about the gospel. Or in that moment to take a stand, maybe some power broker at work was telling an off-color joke and you're there, just a nobody. And the Holy Spirit said, you should talk to him later, that's not appropriate. And you back off, you don't do it. God gives you the moment, the inspiration and the opportunity, and we back away. Listen, that's us denying. That's us refusing. And how many times in our own lives that Jesus could look at us and we would have to run out of the building weeping? And yet we announced and looked at the fact that when Jesus rose again from the dead, remember, he told the disciples, he told the women actually, to go tell the disciples, tell them, I'm risen from the dead, tell the disciples, and make sure you tell Peter. Because condemnation destroys your ability to draw breath. Christian, if you're under the yoke of condemnation because of sin and you've repented, listen, if you've repented and you still don't feel forgiven, you've repented, you've walked away from that sin that grieved God and derailed your life, and you're back with the Lord, but there's that cloud hanging over you, listen, and you don't feel forgiven, I have to confess to you, I don't know what forgiven feels like. What do you mean feels like? What does it feel like? Oh, well, you know, I want to feel lighthearted and happy. I understand the feeling, but listen, forgiveness transcends feelings. It's not based on feelings. Have you repented of your sin that derailed you from your walk with Jesus? Yes. Then listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I bet you, man, when Peter read that, when Paul wrote it, I bet Peter said, amen, Paul. My dear friend today, if you're walking with Jesus but the cloud of the past is haunting you, you need to turn to it and apply the word of God to it like Peter had to do, like all of us have to do, and say, listen, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in Christ is a life that is not after the flesh, but it's in faith. It's upon the faith that I have in Christ Jesus, a whole new life.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so we have this liberty, this inspiration, this calling that God has given us. It's very powerful. Now, thirdly, church, here's where we pick it up. The latter end of verse 1, we get this. The third consideration under this point is that we're to be encouraged by God's unity for your life. All of us ought to be encouraged by God's unity for your life. We are the body of Christ. We're the church. And he says in verse 1 at the end, he says, I also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Can you circle the word partaker, glory, and revealed? Very important. Very important, a partaker. The word partaker here means one that shares in a unified partnership. We are in this together, we would say in our modern tongue. United in the movement or united in the same direction. It means that we all have the same compass setting. Same compass setting. You think of a great armada of ships going across the foggy sea at full throttle, mind you. Maybe you've got a battleship, a strike group moving across the Atlantic. And it's absolutely, you can't see from one end of the ship to the other, fogged in. And yet they're going full speed. How do they move in the darkness or in the fog with such speed and with such commitment? Because of one thing. They have the exact same compass setting. Those ships or those planes or that navigational scenario, they're dialed into the exact same landing point, the exact same distant spot on the map. Same is true for us as Christians. Isn't it awesome to think? Here we are right now in Southern California on this Sunday, and yet there are Christians all around the world. We don't even know each other. We've never met one another. And yet we are all sailing and flying to the exact same destination that is revealed in the Word of God. And that's done by the Holy Spirit in your life. And that thing is this, and that is to be a partaker of the glory that God has for us. There's a glory, listen, Christian, there's a glory that you and I experience now, but there's a glory that is yet coming. What do you mean glory now? There is an awesome experience of following the Lord Jesus Christ with bruises, bumps, and scrapes, worth it all, that when you and I labor together for the same common cause to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an awesome way to live. Every single one of us have our place. And you want to ask yourself, where's my place? Lord, where am I? So you happen to be in a church setting where I personally refuse to acknowledge the size of this church. I don't like it. I've been the one most often to fight against it. I'm not being funny. I'm not being cute. I'm not making stuff up. I will often ask the Lord, Lord, bring to this church only those that you would. Keep away those that you don't want here. God, you grow this place. How did this sanctuary get to be this size? I scratch my head. I wonder, Lord, what's going on? You say, why do you say such a thing? Because listen, don't ever think that size matters for integrity or matters for the will of God or size of a church is somehow the approval of God. We could bring out enough entertainment here to increase the size of this place. God doesn't want entertainment. If I'm faithful to lay down the word of God without apology, line upon line, precept upon precept, it's up to God to do what he does with this church. So how do we go from 6 people to thousands of people? I don't know except one thing, giving out the word of God, giving the Bible out, teaching the Bible, making the scriptures alive in our lives by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that brings us to each and every one of our callings. It's an amazing way to live, and that brings us into that place of unity. How is it that we are a church of poor people, wealthy people? Think about white, black, every color in between. It's because God is not swayed or God is not influenced, nor does God care about any of those things. Wherever the word exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will be active. What he does with his church is his business. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Paul's going to refer to the Holy Spirit here when he spoke to the Ephesian believers there in Turkey. Verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Here's the point. Why is this? Verse 12 says, because, for the equipping of the saints. How come? For what? For the working of the ministry. How come? For what? For the edifying of the body of Christ, the church. How long do we do this? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man, that is a perfectly complete and healthy body of believers, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is how we grow. You know, God has called you with various gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he says, partakers here. I want to give you a quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says, there is no competition in the work of God when everyone is serving the will of God. Isn't that a beautiful line? So simple, right? There's no competition in the family of God if we're serving the will of God. What does that mean? It means that each and every one of us have discovered the place in the body for which we are to operate our particular gift. Gift of helps, various gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned throughout Scripture. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians chapter 4, as we looked at a moment ago. And then it talks about you and I coming to the unity of the fact that there's going to be a glory revealed. There's going to be, the word implies a brightness. It's where we get the word doxa or doxology. That we are to be partakers, we're to be partners together in this. And what is it? It is that destination, the final destination of the glory of God. And he gives a tremendous statement, church, right here, and I don't want you to miss it. He mentions the word here, revealed, will be revealed. Interesting word, because it can be translated this way. It is being revealed. It's being revealed now. It will be revealed. It will all be fulfilled. It's all going to happen. It starts out. It's happening now. And it's going to be brought to a full completion. And that is that when Christ, and you can't get any other word around it, it's when Christ and his glory is revealed. This is a reference to the coming back again of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He hasn't left us untethered in this work. He's coming back. He's given parables. I'm coming back. Go. He says, go farm the fields, plant the seed, be faithful. Don't let the oil in your lamp burn out. Talking about the Holy Spirit in your life. Continue. Don't give up. Don't back up. Go. And while you're busy about my Father's business, I'm going to come back at a moment you have no idea of. And I'm going to reward every one of those who were faithful. You want a big cause? Live for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Do not live for the glory of a church. Well, my church says, or my denomination says, my denomination preaches. Don't do that. None of those things in the end will matter. There's one that will matter, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are to be living for him. And I think in a moment, Peter's going to make this extremely clear. Look at verses 2 and 3. It's our second point. Ministers, each and every one, is the fact that you and I, we need love to be loving others. Did you know that? So when we talk about elders, he said, I want the elders, I exhort them in this ministry. Church leadership, and for that matter, the Christian, of course, should be identified by their love.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, and his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, come to Jesus. He's the one who ministers to you and gives you the power to overcome anything you're going through right now. Pastor Jack's series, Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, is a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.